Well, today is the day after Christmas. And usually it is a disappointing day for many different people. Some people I know out there actually like for Christmas to get over with, but I would venture to say that the majority of people, this is not the most pleasurable day. This is not the most desirable day. In fact, there can be some people that get a little down and depressed and down in the mully grubs because the gift given is over, the gift receiving is over, and the only thing that seems to be left to do is to take all those decorations down. So, is anybody in here, is this kind of more of a down day than other days? Well, it shouldn't be. Which leads me to what we're going to talk about today. We're going to take a little break on the series that we're on, and today I'm going to teach you a message called The Day After Christmas. Amen. Because how many of you know, for us as Christians, that Christmas, or any other holiday for that matter, is supposed to be the cause of joy in our life? How many of you know, for us, we're living in a perpetual holiday? We don't have to wait till November to have Thanksgiving. We don't have to wait till December to have Christmas. We don't have to wait till the spring to have Resurrection Sunday. We should be celebrating His resurrection, His birth, and be thankful 365 days out of the year. Can I get an amen? And interestingly enough, in the Christmas story itself, we actually have three things that are shown to us, revealed to us, of what those involved in the Christmas story did after Jesus was born, after they beheld Him in that manger, things they went and did from that point forward. And I believe these things show us things that we can do to maintain that Christmas joy in our heart and to set us forth and propel us into having a happy and prosperous new year. You interested in learning what these three things are today? Let's go to Luke chapter 2 to the Christmas story. I'm excited about sharing this with you today because a lot of these things you've heard before, but it's not just hearing them that does things in our life. What does the Bible teach us? You got to be a doer of the word. Amen? So it's what we practice. And look, some of you have already started thinking about this coming Saturday when we celebrate New Year's and started thinking about, well, I'm going to do this differently this year. These are things that I'm going to resolve in my life to apply to my life and be different. And shouldn't be this way necessarily with Christians. These things aren't bad, but most of those things revolve around weight loss and getting in good physical health. Those things are good to do. But let me tell you, there are spiritual exercises that we should have in our life that far outweigh even the natural, physical New Year's resolutions we have. So that's what these things you'll see today contain. Let's start in verse 8 of the Christmas story. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold," check this out, "an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Now notice this verse. "Now when they had seen him," so stop right there for a second. What had happened here, the angels had appeared to them, proclaimed the gospel to them of who had just been born, and they made haste to go and see him. And now we see in this verse that they had come and seen him. Now, we don't know how long this seeing of him went. There was probably, I would venture to say, maybe an hour or two of visiting with Mary and Joseph, finding out everything that had happened, and looking at their Messiah lying in this manger. But notice what happened after this. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And let's continue reading. Verse 18 says, "And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told by the shepherds." Verse 19, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Verse 20, "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." So what we see in these verses, verses 18 through 20, we have in these verses three things that happened with those involved in the Christmas story after Jesus was born, after he was lying in that manger, what they did afterwards. So let's camp on these three things because I believe they show us what we ought to be doing on this day and every day afterwards. Amen? So the first thing I want you to notice, let's go back to verse 19. I want you to notice, first of all, what Mary did. It starts off by saying, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Now, this is something you actually see a lot of times in Mary. In fact, do you remember when the angel appeared to her and told her, "You're going to conceive and be with child"? And when he came and said something to her initially, it said, she pondered and thought about these things. What manner of greeting this was. So you know what this shows me? Mary was a thinker. Mary was somebody who didn't just get a wild hair about something and head out and do it. She actually thought through things. She meditated on them. She pondered them. She kept those things in her heart as a result of them. Amen? And this, to me, is one of the first things I think we could learn about our life and what we should be doing from Christmas home. We need to be a little bit more like Mary. And in this respect, that we meditate on the truth. We meditate on what God has said, the things we've seen, the things we've done, the things God's done for us, whether it be your own personal testimony, whether it be a word God gave you, whether it be the scriptures themselves, whether it be the gospel as a whole. Whatever those things are, we need to be people that learn to ponder and meditate on His Word. Now, I can give you a laundry list of scriptures of why this is so important, but I'll just take you to two of them. Let's go to Psalm 1, the first psalm, and I want to show you the power of being this kind of thinker and how it propels us in our life. You know, there's some things that God has told us that if we'll just do them, this will be the result in our life. Amen? And there is no questioning them. And I've oftentimes taught these things before from Proverbs chapter 4 when he talks about that you need to keep your ears inclined to his word, and you need to not let them depart from your eyes, and you need to keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Because they are life to those that find them, and what? Medicine to all their flesh. And you know, the point that I've made from that before is, we're children of God, right? Well, I think a lot of times we can respond to God the same way our children, when they were smaller, responded to us. Little Johnny, go brush your teeth. And what do? They go into the bathroom, and you hear the water turn on, and they run that toothbrush up under the water, and they don't brush their teeth. Little Johnny, take your vitamins. And they're like, throw it past their head and don't take their vitamins. You know, there's a lot of different things that we tell our children to do that they don't necessarily do, but how many of you know, with all of us, we're only telling them to do things that are good for them and that will lead them to a happy quality of life, right? Well, how many of you know, God tells us to do things. Little Johnny, take your medicine. Now, if we don't take our medicine and we don't do what God tells us to do, like we see there in Proverbs chapter 4, whose fault is it if our teeth rot and fall out? Whose fault is it if we're not experiencing the quality of life God said we had? God gives us things to do that will always lead us into the quality of life that He has designed for us, but it's up to us to take the medicine. Amen. And that's what we see here in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Look at this. Blessed is the man. Look at this. He's describing to us a blessed man or woman of God who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Look at verse 2. He says, but his delight is in what? The law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now, when we use this terminology, meditates or meditation, a lot of people get wigged out about it. And why? Because they think it's some Middle Eastern, kooky, spooky practice of getting yourself in a certain position in your hands and start humming something like you're worshiping some other god. That's not what the Bible speaks of when it speaks of meditation. When you look the word up, it just means to contemplate, to ponder, or to chew on something. Amen. So when he tells us to meditate on his word, he's not telling us to do something weird. He's telling us, I want you to just ponder it. I want you to think about it. Why? Because this is what keeps it in your heart. But look at what the fruit is. Look at verse 3. It goes on to say, and he who, the one that delights in the law of the Lord and meditates in his word day and night, he or she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And say this with me, whatever he does shall prosper. Somebody say, I'll have some of that. How many of you would love to have whatever you do in your life to be successful, to prosper, to basically thrive in all these aspects? We all want that physically. We want it financially. We want it spiritually, absolutely. All of us want that. Well, this scripture tells us how to do it, how to get it. You got to learn to delight yourself in the Word of God and meditate in it day and night, just like Mary did. Go to Joshua chapter 1 and let me show you a similar passage. Now, you know, Joshua had a big calling on his life, just like many of you do. Moses had just died, and if you don't know much about Scripture, you need to know this, is that Moses was very much frowned upon by a lot of the children of Israel. But by this point in their life, they'd gotten past a lot of that, and they highly esteemed Moses. So for the next guy to come on the scene and take up the reins that Moses held was a tall task. I can only imagine what went through the heart and mind of Joshua during this time. I'm sure it was very difficult. He probably had a lot of insecurities. He probably felt very inadequate and not really able to do the job Moses did. But God told him some things. Look here at verse 6. And interestingly enough, you'll notice this phrase several times. Be strong and of good courage. See, that's an exhortation based on all those feelings that he was probably having. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. There he says it again. That you may what? Observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may what? Prosper wherever you go. Now, which was doing what? Observing to do everything that was in the law of the Lord, which we would call the Word of God. Now, look at the next verse. This book of the law shall not depart from your what? Mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Now, that sounds like the first Psalm, doesn't it? That you may observe to do according to all that's written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. So again, it's essentially repeating the first Psalm of telling us that the key to being successful and prospering in whatever we do is doing what? Meditating in His Word day and night. Now, a lot of people hear that and they think that's impossible, because they say, it's impossible, Pastor. How on earth am I going to meditate, think, contemplate, and ponder on God's Word both day and night? Well, I'll tell you, it's really easy. It's the same way you worry on things both day and night. Have you ever found how easy it is for our mind to start meditating on, oh, this is going to happen or that's going to happen? What if we channeled that energy from the negative and put it over on God's Word? Well, I'll tell you what would happen. You'll prosper in every area of your life and you'll have good success. And this applies to anything and everything in your life that you need to experience. Interestingly enough, from the two passages I just took you to, they are the first chapters in both of those respective books. Psalm 1 and Joshua 1, which shows me something, that this is one of the first things that we need to be applying to our life. We need to be the world's biggest word nerds. Amen. To where we are in the Word all the time. People can't pull us away from it. We're studying. We're reading. We're saying it. We're doing all these different things because why? What we're doing is we are doing what Mary did. We're pondering it so that we keep it in our hearts. And what does the Bible teach us? When you keep God's Word in your heart, well, it says over in Proverbs chapter 4 that when your heart keeps something, out of it springs the issues of my life and your life. Amen. So the things that come out of our heart are what are produced in our life. Amen. Which leads me to my next point. The first thing is learning to meditate on God's Word both day and night. Now go back over to Luke 2 and let me show you a couple of other things that's contained in this Christmas story. Let's go back to verse 18, Debbie. 17. Back up to 17. So they had come and seen him. We see what Mary did. She just sat there and meditated on the things that had just happened. But now look at verse 17 at what these shepherds did. This is powerful. It says, now when they had seen him, they did what? They made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So the response of the shepherds was to do what? It was to go and tell everybody what the angels had told them and what they had just beheld lying in that manger. Amen? Now, when I thought about this, I thought this is usually what children do around Christmas time, on the day after Christmas. Sometimes they do it on Christmas Day. I know I used to do it. A lot of y'all probably did it. It's one of the first things you do when you're little is you call your friends up. Ring, ring, ring. Hey, Johnny, let me tell you what I got for Christmas. And the whole conversation revolves around what you got and what they got. Why? Because it's filling your heart with the excitement of what you would receive that you just gotta tell somebody. I'm here to tell you today, that should be the response of all of us when it comes to the true meaning of Christmas. When we have received something from the Lord and that has impacted our heart, the first response is to tell everybody we can what we got for Christmas. Or more accurately, who we got and what we got through Him. We got salvation. Aha, we got peace. We got joy. We got prosperity. We got the Holy Ghost. List goes on and on and on of all the things we've gotten. And when those things impact our heart, we're going to have to just tell somebody. Because why? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaketh. You know, it's not hard to tell what's hidden in somebody's heart. What's the thing that just naturally just comes up and comes out? You hang out with somebody long enough, you're going to find out real quick what's filling their heart. Because you just got to talk about it. We should be having what Christ has done for us become so impacting of our heart that we just got to tell somebody. And I know people will give all the excuses of why they don't want to do this because people will accuse us of trying to push our faith over off on people and accuse us of being holier than thou if we're talking about Christ and what salvation has provided in our life. If we're talking about that all the time, people don't like to hear it. But it's not us that's weird. It's them. Amen. Because listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'll give you an analogy. If one of you received for Christmas yesterday a check for $10 million. I would venture to say we'd have heard about it by now. Right? I don't think if somebody received a gift of that magnitude that you would have been keeping those things away from people and nobody would have known. No, people would have found out because the enormous gift that you'd received would be impacting your heart to the degree that you just got to tell somebody. And I'm here to tell you what we got for Christmas every day of our life far outweighs a $10 million gift. And that needs to impact our heart. This is why what the shepherds received on this particular evening was so powerful. They had a supernatural encounter with an angel. They saw Jesus physically manifest in the flesh. And so people will hear that and they'll say, well, if I had a supernatural encounter with the Lord like that, I'd go tell everybody. Well, you can. And I'm not talking about God wants to necessarily send you, show you an angel here and reveal Jesus to you like that, but the Holy Ghost has been put on the inside of you to make these things known to your heart and impact you so that you are totally full of this and you got to go tell somebody. Amen. And let me tell you why this is so important to what we're talking about of experiencing the joy of Christmas every day and having a happy and successful New Year. Because why? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So the thing that we go and proclaim and we speak out and we're talking about concerning the truth, the word of truth, is doing what? It's putting things into the atmosphere around us. I've had people come to me and say, oh, Pastor, pray that the devil will leave me alone. And I'll say to them and say, all right, right now, in Jesus' name, Father, I ask you to kill him. In Jesus' name. I'm kidding. I don't do that. But listen, that's the only way the devil's going to leave you alone is when you're dead. That's not the solution. The solution is doing the thing God's told us to do that gets the devil to leave you alone. And what does the Bible say? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And out of all the armor that he tells us to put on, he said he's put something in our hand and in our mouth called the sword of the Spirit. And because of that sword that's been given to us, listen, if one of y'all were given a nice, long, huge, sharp samurai sword for Christmas. Some of y'all can see the look on your face. You would have loved to have gotten that for Christmas. But if you came to church with a sword like that and came walking down the aisle swinging that thing around, woo, swinging it around and everything like that, guess what's going to happen? People are going to leave you alone. If you want to get the devil to leave you alone, start proclaiming the word of God, letting it come out of your mouth. Do what the shepherds did and go widely make known what God has done for us, what he's given us. Go and tell everybody what you got for Christmas. Hallelujah. That's good preaching, Pastor. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I came today. That was worth the price of admission, praise the Lord. But there's power in speaking the word of God. And there's so many things I could go on and on and on about framing your future. It is true that in many cases, the quality of our life today is a result of what we said about it yesterday. And I'm not talking about within a 24-hour period. But I'm talking about over a lifetime, over a year, over whatever, is that the things that we've believed in our heart and that we are declaring and saying is what's going to frame our future. The Bible teaches us over in Hebrews chapter 11 that God, by faith, did what? Framed the worlds. And how did he do it? He said. And you know what all, you know what's interesting when you go and read the account of creation? Is God created everything with faith-filled words. And then it would say this. He said, and then he saw. He said, and then he saw. Many Christians are trying to see, and then they'll say. But no, you got to say it to see it. That's why we call things that be not as though they were. And there's tons of scriptures I can give you that We can see this is how God does things. It says over in Romans chapter 4 that God does two things. God's got several hobbies. Did you know that? There's actually some things God loves to do. And one of them is this. I think it's Romans chapter 4, verse 17. It says, God, who quickens the dead. That means He gives life to dead things. How many of you know, you read the Bible and you see that over and over and over, that God would give life to something that was dead. Does it all the time. But then it didn't stop there. It said, God who quickens the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. And you can see in many different scriptures how God would tell the children of Israel, I've already given you the city. It's yours. When the walls were still up in Jericho, He came to Abraham and said to Abraham, when his name was still Abram, I'm changing your name, boy. Now you're no longer going to be called Abram. Now you will be called Abraham. For I, listen to this, have made you a father of many nations. This was before Sarah ever conceived Isaac. And this is before, obviously, he was ever given birth to. God calls things that be not as though they were. He calls them the way He wants to see them. And He expects His children to do the same. Mark 11, verse 22 through 24 says, have God's faith. Believe things like God does. Do things like God. And I'll give you a little teaser. Here in a couple of weeks, we're going to start a new teaching on the subject of faith. I went back through, and the other day I had, you know, with people being out of town and everything like that, I am ultra productive in the office, praise God. It's amazing how much more I can get done when I'm here by myself, praise God. And I went through and I looked at everything that we've taught at this church since I've been here, and looked at every series and numbered down. And I found we have never actually camped on the subject of faith out of everything else we've ever taught on. And it seemed good to me and to the Holy Ghost for us to camp on that so that we can start getting some things in our life. And this is a powerful key to it. It's that what you say, what you proclaim, is the evidence of your faith, and it's how faith works. Amen. And so, we've got to start framing our future by what we say. So, not only do we need to be meditating on His Word day and night and thinking on the Word, but we also need to be speaking the Word of God. And I'll tell you, if you just do those two things right there, heading into this new year, and you practice this into 2022, watch what happens come this time next year if you diligently practice these things in your life. But as important as thinking and speaking is, there's something that's arguably even more important than that. And that's the third thing we see in Luke, the second chapter. So let's go back over there. And let's look at what happened after we see the shepherds going out and declaring these things and Mary pondering these things in her heart. Let's go to, I believe it might be verse 20, Debbie. Let's go to verse 20. So after we see those other two things happen, notice this. Then the shepherds returned doing what? Glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. So what's the third thing you and I can do the day after Christmas to propel us into a prosperous new year? Praise and glorify God day and night, I might add. I quoted a scripture when we got up here after worship this morning where King David said, Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at some times. His praise shall occasionally be in my mouth. Thank you. No, I will bless the Lord. I'm reading from Second Hesitations there. That's not the book of the Bible I want, or the translation I want. No, what I'm saying to you today is I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And how many of you know there is many different reasons to be doing this outside of our worship service on Sunday morning? It's important for us to get together and corporately worship together, but man, we should be praising and worshiping and glorifying God all the time, continually. Amen. No matter what's going on in our life. And to me, This is arguably the most important of the three things. And I'll tell you why. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. And let me show you a very powerful passage of Scripture in Romans. Many people have missed this before, but the Apostle Paul, before he gets into talking about salvation and righteousness and everything that we've been given, Romans is an awesome book of the Bible. Actually, this would be a good book for some of you that are listening to me right now to begin meditating on for this new year. I speak that by the Spirit of the Lord. But let me show you something here in this 21st verse. Because although they knew God, now, we'll stop right there. What was happening here is the Apostle Paul declares to us that there is no person that has an excuse that's ever been born on this planet of saying, well, I never heard about Jesus, I never knew about God, and I am not subject to the same expectations of God in my life that other people were. No, it says that the invisible attributes of God have been clearly revealed to everybody. If people will just slow down enough, they'll just look at the sky, they'll look at a tree, they can just take anything with life in it and consider somebody had to make this. And their hearts aren't hardened, they can know what the truth is. All right? So what he's saying here is, because although they knew God, is revealing that every person had some kind of basic knowledge of God in their life and still does. But notice this, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. But, as a result of not doing those two things, became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So this shows us how the unbeliever, it goes on to say in the verses after this, this is then would result in them making idols and worshiping false gods. It's because it all started, though, that they didn't glorify Him as God. They weren't thankful to Him. And then their hearts went away from Him to such a degree of not doing those things. Now they're going to start making graven images and worshiping those. So it's not like people just go from A to Z. They make choices that end up hardening their heart and causing them to just go away slowly and methodically away from the knowledge of God. And I'm going to tell you something, and this is a very alarming thing. This isn't just for unbelievers. You and I, who have come to know God, to know salvation, to know Jesus, if we don't glorify Him as God, if we don't practice this thanksgiving in our life, our hearts can become hardened and calloused. Our hearts and minds can be empty because they're not filled with the thoughts of God. And we can end up doing things that if you would have told us we would have done them a couple of years ago, we'd have called you a liar. All of us are capable of falling away. And this verse right here shows us how we can keep ourselves from doing that. The first thing is, all right, God, I know You. I'm going to live my life glorifying You like those shepherds did. I'm going to practice glorifying You in all the things I do. And there's all kinds of terminology for that. It's magnifying the Lord. Exalting Him. Yes, all these terms that are not necessarily what we're supposed to be saying. I think that we have not necessarily been taught this in the church. I'm not talking about this church, but in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as a whole, that a lot of people think glorifying and praising God is saying, I glorify You, I praise You, God. That would be like me coming to you, like it'd be like me coming to Shannon for Christmas. All right, it's my turn to give a Christmas gift to Shannon. Said, I give you gift. And she's sitting there like, where is it? No, I give you gift. No, that's what people are doing when they pray, when they say, I just praise You, God. To praise God is to actually praise Him. To glorify Him is to actually glorify Him. And that happens through the things we say. So like, for example, for me to bless the Lord at all times, how do you bless Him? Well, Levi doesn't bless me by coming to me and saying, I bless you, Dad. No, he blesses me by coming to me and telling me, you're a good dad. Thank you for everything you do for me. Do you see that? That's what blesses the Father when we go to Him and we say who He is and what He's done. And the awesome news is this. You don't just praise, glorify, magnify, exalt the Lord in saying it directly to Him. See, how were they glorifying and praising Him, the shepherds? They were telling people about what He had done. Amen. This might be a good practice that when we greet one another after worship on Sunday mornings, that's what we do. Is that we just go, let me tell you real quick. Now, I know some of y'all aren't that good at that. At doing it real quick. But you can actually do this. You go to people and say, let me tell you what God did. Let me tell you what I got for Christmas. When you do that, you are glorifying God. And when you're glorifying God, you're praising God, whether directly or indirectly, oh man, it sets you on a course for what? Notice this. It said that when we don't glorify Him as God and we're not thankful, our thoughts became futile and our hearts become darkened, which literally means hardened. So what do you think happens when we who know God choose to glorify Him as God and choose to be thankful to Him? Our thoughts won't be futile, they won't be empty, but they will be completely productive. Amen. And our hearts won't be hardened. Our hearts will become more soft, sensitive, and pliable in the hands of the potter. Because why? We've chosen to glorify God, be thankful, and praise Him. And so, listen to this now. This is why I think this is the most important of the three things we've looked at today. Because when I praise and glorify God, it propels me into proclaiming and meditating. Because it makes my thoughts more full of life and productive, amen, and it makes my heart more full of His praise and the Word of God and declaring the truth. Amen. I'll tell you, man, if you do these three things that we've talked about today, the devil will never be able to hold you down again. All those things that people have been saying about, well, the devil, he's doing all these things, he's beating my brains out. See, most Christians, they spend most of their life praising the devil than they do God. And it seems like that wouldn't be a true statement because we think praise is the, oh, I praise you. They're not doing that, but they're talking more about what he's doing than what God's done. They're glorifying what he's done more than what God's done. See, there is a time, there is a place for us, you know, making clear to people this is what's going on in my life, but be careful what's filling your heart of what you're saying most of the time. It's like this, when you say something, I heard somebody say this the other day, I don't know if it was a Christmas movie we were watching or something like that, but when you say but, it's essentially like you just erased everything else that you just said, right? Well, I know God, this is what a lot of Christians say, well, I know God's good and He said this and this, but it hurts so bad. It's so difficult, and this and that. And you can hear just by the inflection on people's voice of what's really filling their heart. You see that? No, we need to be this type of person. You might be going through a tough time. You go to somebody and say, yeah, how are you doing today, hon? And you say, yeah, my back hurts right now. My knee hurts right now. But! You're awake now, aren't you? But my God's bigger than that. God said this. And then you just go on rambling for a few minutes on everything God said concerning your situation. I'm telling you, you do that in your life, it's not going to take that long for God to start working in you and through you and get you to experiencing that Christmas every day of your life. Amen. So the three things, what are they? First thing is, meditate on His Word day and night. Second thing is, proclaim the truth and declare what God has said and done. And the third thing, live your life to praise and glorify God. When you do what the shepherds and Mary and everybody else involved in the Christmas story did, you'll have a joy-filled and prosperous holiday in your life all the rest of your days. Amen. And now you may stand in your feet and rejoice in the fact we got done 2 minutes early. Praise God. Don't say I didn't give you, I know, right? Don't say I didn't give you anything for Christmas. I gave you 2 minutes this year. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's lift our hands up to heaven. Lord, we thank you today for this day after Christmas and for everything that you've given us and done for us that unlocks a life of prosperity and success. Lord, you've called us to thrive in every area of our life, and it comes as we proclaim the Word, as we meditate on the Word, and as we glorify the Word. As we do these things in our life, Lord, we just can't help but being successful and prosperous in every area of our life. And I declare over us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that 2022 is going to be our best year yet. In Jesus' name, that we're going to see God's favor, God's providence, God's goodness in our life. And the negative things we've gone through and are going through, in Jesus' name, we say those things are under our feet. They're behind us. We got a new beginning this week, and we are going to be successful in it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen. Amen, amen.